glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naranjaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Nato Jaya Mudirayet Nasupraya Surabhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Ravati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text number 23. Jivan Chavo Bhagavata Grini Renum Najatu Martyo Bilabeta Yastu Shri Vishnu Padai Majujas Tulasya Shavasyan Chavo Yastuna Veda Gadam Jivan Chavo Bhagavatan Green Renu Najatu Martyo Bilabeta Yastu Shri Vishnu Padaya Majus Tulasya Shasvan Chavo Yastu Naveda Gadam Jivan Chavo Bhagavata Gri Renu Najatu Martyo Bilabeta Yastu Shri Vishnu Padaya Maju Astulasya Shasyan Chavo Yastu Naveda Gadam. Jivan Chavo Bhagavata Grandi Renum Najatu Martyo Bilabeta Yastu Shri Vishnu Padya Majujastu Asya Shasvantavo Yastu Naveda Gadam Jivan Chavo Bhagavata Gri Renu Najatu Martyo Bilabeda Yastu Chavastu Chavo Yutaveda Kathdam Jivan Chavo Bhagavata Gri Renu Ajahn Matyo Yadeva Yastu Vishnupadya Madhudas Tulasya Vanjitavo Yatu Veda Gadam. Others? Tu Madhyo Bilaveda Yastu Shri Vishnu Padya Madhudastu Lasya Pantavo Yastu Naveda Gadam Jivan while living Swa a dead body Bhagavat Agrini, Renum. The dust of the feet of a pure devotee. Na, never. Jatu, at any time. Martya, mortal. Ablilate beta, particularly received. Ya, a person. Tu, but. Shri, with opulence, Vishnupadaya, of the lotus feet of Vishnu, Manuja, a descendant of Manu, Tulasya, leaves of the Tulasi trees, Shasvasan, while breathing, Swa, still a dead body. Ya, who, to, but, Naveda, never experience, Gadam, the aroma. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the Tulasi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. When a man dies, he is called dead. But when he again appears in a subtle form not visible to our present vision, and yet acts, such a dead body is called a ghost. Ghosts are always very bad elements and always create a fearful situation for others. Similarly, the ghost-like non-devotees who have no respect for the pure devotees nor for the Vishnu deity in the temples create a fearful situation for the devotee, for the devotees at all times. The Lord never accepts any offering by such impure ghosts. There is a common saying that one should first love the dog of the beloved before one shows any loving sentiments for the beloved. The stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service to the Lord is therefore to be a servant of a pure devotee. And this condition is fulfilled by the statement, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has also served another pure devotee. That is the way of pure disciplic succession or devotional parampara. Maharaj Rahugana inquired from the great saint Jarad Bharat as to how he had attained such a liberated stage of a paramahamsa. And answer, the great saint replied as follows, Rahugana gatya tapasa nayeti yati Na che yaya nirvapada grihadvan. Na cha dasa naiva jalingi jalagni surya vina mahatpadam rajo bi sekam. O King Rahugana, the perfectional stage of devotional service or the Paramahamsa stage of life cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. It is never attained by tapasya, austerity, the Vedic worshipping process, acceptance of the renounced order of life, the discharge of the duties of household life, the chanting of Vedic hymns, or the performance of penance in the hot sun, within cold water, or before the blazing fire. In other words, Lord Sri Krishna is the property of his pure, unconditional devotees, and as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never attainable directly. Lord Chaitanya therefore designated himself as Gopi Parthu Padakamalor Dasa Dasa Anudas, or the most obedient servant of the servants of the Lord, who maintains the Gopi damsels at Vrindavan. A pure devotee therefore never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servants of the Lord's servants. And thus, the Lord becomes pleased, and only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulasi leaves stuck to his lotus feet. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotee. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees. And once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. The conclusion is therefore that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than of the Lord directly. And by one's doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. Om Agyanatimidandasya Gananjana Shalakoya Chakshurudminitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadadmayam Dadati Svam Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padalan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavari Pashyachade Satarine Vanchakalpa Thurumbhishya Kripa Sindhurva Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kun karati vachalam pongulagate gidim, tadkripa taraham vande shri gurum dinatarinam. I seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas assembled. And actually, I wanted to bring up the point that the Srimad Bhagavatam class is not just the speaker's time to shine. It's actually it's just a service, just as much as like a pujari on the altar is a service. We don't come to the Bhagavatam class to hear the speaker. We come to the Bhagavatam class to hear the Bhagavatam. And hearing the Bhagavatam is more of the services done by those who are actually hearing it rather than the person that's speaking it. So I really seek that you all show me your mercy by eagerly wanting to hear Bhagavatam, and then maybe I can say something that's useful and inspiring for us throughout the rest of the day. As I was reading this purport, just this time, not when I was preparing, but I was thinking about on my way into Vrindavan this past year, I had fallen asleep because we had been traveling like so much, and I just wanted a little bit of rest, so I fell asleep on the way to Vrindavan. And when we stopped to get gas, and I was wondering, I wonder if we're in Vraj Mandal. And then I got out of the car, and the first person said to me, Radhe, Radhe! And I was like, okay, we're in Vraj Mandal. So I was just appreciating this point, that the residents of Vrindavan, they constantly pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And it's one of the endearing parts of being in Vrindavan Dham is being in the association of the Vrajvasis who are constantly greeting you in such a way. It's just such a nice culture. When I was preparing for this class, one of the things that came to mind was Bhaktisiddhanta's quote, Prana Ache Yarse Hetu Prachar, that only one that has life can preach. Because this verse is speaking about those who don't have any life. So naturally I began to think, what does it mean to actually have life? And if one has to have life to preach, what is the substance that's maintaining that life? So, to have life, according to the purport, and also just upon reflecting it, is to carry the mood of service of our previous acharyas within our heart. This disposition of service is really only coming through the medium of the previous acharyas and us being able to please them and align ourselves with their instructions, with their desires. And in the CC, it's explained that the spiritual master is actually a very confidential servant of Srimati Radharani. And ultimately, all service is being distributed through her only. And this is being mentioned in the purport. But actually, we ourselves have no capacity in order to approach the sentiments and inner mood of Krishna's most beloved devotee. She's the embodiment of the supreme love of the spiritual world. She's the embodiment of compassion. And we, at least for myself, become honest with ourselves. We're just insignificant aspects, insignificant particles of Krishna's Tathaksha Shakti that are implicated with the Bahiranga Shakti, the external energy of the Lord. And in this Bahiranga Shakti, we're actually completely opposed to the mood of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani's mood is of complete selfless love and dedication. So we actually have no capacity to be able to approach that because our consciousness in the material state is diametrically opposed to her inner mood. But Srimati Radharani is completely compassionate. So in order to show compassion on us, she depuses her most confidential devotees into this world to allow us to get a glimpse of what that state of selfless service actually looks like. If we try to understand the sentiments of Vraj Bhakti through our own limited senses, we'll become bewildered. But if we try to understand them through the example and teachings of our previous acharyas, then we can easily understand the selfless service attitude that it takes for us to enter into that realm. Recently, I've been reading Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, And I couldn't think of a better example to speak on the mood of selfless service than Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And there's many examples, but this has been particularly resting on my consciousness recently. So I figured I would share how Bhaktisiddhanta is exemplifying this point of Vedesu Durlabha, Amadurlabha Atma Bhakto, that we can't approach Krishna through the Vedas, but through a sincere mood of service, one can approach Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, as we all know, he was actually a genius. He is considered to be the ray of Vishnu that Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed to in order to help him spread Lord Chaitanya's mission. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita at a very young age and was able to speak on every verse with discriminating detail and could explain everything. He practically revolutionized the science of astronomy within India. If you know, he gave commentary and spoke on the book Surya Siddhanta. Surya Siddhanta is a book of calculations in order to calculate where planets are in the sky. And the orthodox approach to studying that book was through an absolute approach, meaning the calculations within the Surya Siddhanta were considered to be absolute considerations, not relative considerations. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was the first one to point out that actually those calculations have to be adjusted according to time, place, and circumstance. The Surya Siddhanta is not an absolute science. It's a relative science. And this point was so refuted that it actually came to a very intense debate at University of Calcutta with the topmost professor in astrology at that time debating with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. This debate ended with this particular astrologer passing stool and urine at the same time after being defeated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So, not only that, he was a perfect brahmachari, and he was of exemplary character his entire life. And he was depued by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was suffering from not being able to leave his bed. I forget the actual name of the... It's like rheumatic. It's the same thing that Prabhupada had. It's like arthritis. Yeah, that's right. So he wasn't able to leave his bed. And he was scheduled for a debate with the Smarta Brahmanas to argue on this point of Vaishnava and Brahmana. And he depued Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to go to this debate. Bhaktisiddhanta completely defeated them. And he established that actually the Vaishnava position is more exalted than that of a caste Brahmana. And at the end of this debate, people were so shocked by the oration of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that they actually came and bathed his feet. They were all trying to grab his feet. So what the head Panda did is he took Bhaktisiddhanta's feet, put him in a big thing of water, and then he distributed all the water to the people so this young Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati could escape without being completely ripped to shreds by these very enthusiastic people that had come to hear this debate. So he had all these qualifications that materially are completely exalted. And now, at one point, he had been trained his entire life by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And at the end of his, at one point in his life, Bhaktivinoda Thakur told him that he didn't want to give Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Diksha, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati should go to Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Now, Gaurakishore Das Babaji is diametrically opposed to the character of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Gaurakishore Das Babaji, if you study his life, was illiterate. He was known to be a little bit cranky and crude, particularly to those who were very insincere and were approaching him for material ashravad. And he had this habit of staying in filthy places in order to keep those of materialistic demeanor away from him. And he said that he felt that the smell of living in the lavatory was more pleasant than being around the duplicitous nature of materialists. He was known to walk around naked, or he would just wear cloth that he had collected from the burning ghat. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he approached Gaurakishordas Babaji for initiation. And when he approached Gaurakishordas Babaji, Gaurakishordas Babaji immediately rejected him. Actually, people who had previously tried to approach Gaurakishordas Babaji, he would beat them with an umbrella. And Gaurakishordas Babaji rejected him, and he said, "Will you please, please accept me?" And Gaurakishordas Babaji said, "Okay, I'll play to Mahaprabhu." And when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati came back a few days later and he asked, "So what did Mahaprabhu say?" Gaurakishordas Babaji said, "I forgot to ask him." So he said, "Okay, I'll ask him soon. So he asked him, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati returned, and Gaurakishordas Babaji said, "I didn't receive any command from Mahaprabhu, so I will not initiate you." And the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati started to cry, "Karuna na hoile kadia kadia, prana na raiki bo ara," which actually comes from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, Gurudev. And it's saying that, "I am completely worthless without your mercy. And if you don't give me your mercy, then I'll simply cry and cry until I die." Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was so sincere to receive the dust of the lotus feet of Gaurakishordas Babaji, he was ready to commit suicide in order to receive that dust. So Gaurakishordas Babaji, seeing the sincerity of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, immediately decided to give him his mercy. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati relates that his entire life, he had been respected so much for all of his qualifications. He was extremely educated. He was scholarly. He was of very good character, very aristocratic. He was respected throughout his life, so much so that the University of Calcutta wanted to offer him the head of the Department of Astrology. But he said, "All of these things that anyone had ever appreciated about me, my Gurudev considered completely of worthless. He didn't see any value in it." And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that this personality, for him to reject all these so-called qualifications that I had, he must possess the greatest treasure. And so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, being very humbled by this, completely gave his life to his spiritual master. And Gaurakishordas Babaji would never put his feet on the head of anyone, but he put his head on the feet of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and said, "Preach the absolute truth and keep aside all other activities." So once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was on a preaching tour in East Bengal, and he was on a boat ride, and a supporter of his asked him, "Your Guru Maharaj is a Bhajananandi, and you're a staunch Goshtiyanandi. How do we understand this seeming contradiction?" And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, "Actually, there's no difference in purpose, in mood. Just as this boat," he pointed to the engine is cranking and making so much noise and moving the boat along, "but behind this engine is the battery. So similarly, my Gurudev is my battery, and without him I am absolutely nothing." And in another instance, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was speaking at Gaurakishordas Babaji's Samadhi in Mayapur. And he said his Gurudev gave him three instructions. The first instruction was to never associate with anyone. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati related that, "Actually, I never associated with anyone, because to associate with someone means to receive something from them. And the only thing I ever associated with was the instructions of my Gurudev." The second point was that to never go to the city of Calcutta, which is the hub of Kali Yuga. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, "Actually, I have never gone to Calcutta, because we've established the Gaudiya Math there, and the Gaudiya Math is non-different from Vaikuntha." And the third point is Gaurakishordas Babaji told him to never accept any disciples. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, "Actually, I've never accepted any disciples, because anyone who considers themselves my disciple, I actually consider to be my guru, because I'm learning how to serve Hari sincerely through their example. And anyone who's been sent to me by Krishna, I just see them, I'm just simply their servant, because I'm serving them in the manner of training them in the principles of Krishna consciousness." So This same mood of service that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati had acquired from his Guru Maharaj was acquired by Srila Prabhupada. And this mood of service to the mission of Guru and really serving the heart of the instruction of Guru was exemplified in Prabhupada's mission to bring Krishna consciousness to the people of the Western world. Before going to the West, he made it a point that he had to have Srimad Bhagavatam done before he came here. And if you study Lilamrita, you'll see that actually the Srimad Bhagavatam made it to America before he made it to America. And in an effort to publish that Srimad Bhagavatam, he had practically no money. And he was going around Delhi, and he would skip meals in order to save money. And in the process of doing this, he would come to his printer, and his printer would see, "You haven't eaten anything." And his printer, having compassion for him, decided to feed him. So, Achyutyananda Prabhu relates that if you want to know what Raga Bhakti is, Prabhupada boarding the Jaladuta and coming to the West with no facilities, no connections, no money, only the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is Raga Bhakti. And this same mood of dedication, of surrender, of dependence on Guru and the previous Acharyas is actually being made available to us. And the process of receiving initiation from the spiritual master is the spiritual master making this mood available to us. And by following the instructions, we become suitable vessels for this mood to become present within our heart. And to be more clear, that mood is Gopi Bhartu Padakamalor Dasa Dasa Anudas. This is the mood of our Sampradaya. And this is the mood of the Guru Parampara. And any realization that we receive after applying the instructions of our spiritual master, we should simply understand to be the property of our Guru Maharaj. Any experience that we have, any taste that we have, that is simply been the gift of the spiritual master. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that the spiritual master is giving Krishna Nama Dhane. So at the time of initiation, the spiritual master takes our sinful reactions and he gives us the holy name. Such a merciful charity. And within that holy name comes all the realizations of our Sampradaya. And so our only qualification for receiving this mood of service is our acknowledgement of our disqualification for it. Our acknowledging that I have been turning against the mood of service for so long, instead of cultivating a seva-vritti, an inclination to service, I've been cultivating a bhoga-vritti, an inclination to enjoyment and rebellion against Krishna. And the more I admit this state of consciousness and call out to Krishna in complete dependence in this state of consciousness, to that degree, I'll be actually able to assimilate the mood of our Sampradaya. And the point is, that's being made in this purport, is that unless this mood is assimilated, one can actually not begin to taste the sweetness of serving Krishna's lotus feet. This mood of Gopi Bhartu Padakamalor Dasa Dasa Anudas is our prerequisite for Namruchi, for Sevaruchi, for appreciating the association of Vaishnavas. And as long as this mood is not present, then we're simply living a life of a ghost. Hare Krishna. Is there time for reflections or questions? Yeah, okay. Any questions or reflections? Prema Sankirtan.
Hare Krishna.
It is a nice class. Can you maybe give some scriptural reference when very state then when you get initiation from spiritual master, the spiritual master is accepting sinful action of disciple.
Scriptural reference.
Scripture, very stated in scriptures.
Well, to be completely honest, I've only heard this in a number of classes. Practically every class that's been given on initiation, whenever we have initiation ceremonies, this point is brought up. But a devotee that's very scholarly, such as Archita Prabhu, he may be able to give a reference. Do you know any references where that's brought up, that the spiritual master takes the reactions, the sinful reactions of the disciples? Okay. Oh, Maharaj says it's in Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers.
Just a brief comment. First of all, thank you very much for your class. Had many inspiring remarks, many nice examples and descriptions, and we should all feel very grateful to have such, because a lot of study, a lot of surrendered service, a lot of loving devotional activities went to create that in you in order to be able to express what you did today. So I take great pleasure in what you gave us. I sometimes get the question, and perhaps you do too, from persons who say that, why can't I approach Krishna directly? I mean, he is like my divine father. My own father doesn't prevent me from approaching him directly. So why can't I approach Krishna, who is the supreme father and who has everything, knows everything, and can give everything that I want? So the only way that I try to answer that is the way you brought out the dasa no dasa no das. That is the principle there, the servant of the servant of the servant. Is that when one approaches the Supreme Lord directly, rather than through the spiritual master or through the pure devotee, it is a very presumptuous mentality that I am capable, I am qualified, I have all the goods that are necessary to receive such an answer from the Supreme Lord. So why not? But the reality is that when Krishna wants to tell you something, or he wants to give you something, or he wants to share something, you don't have to go to him. Actually, it is the surrendered, submissive, giving mentality that attracts Krishna to us. And when he is attracted to us, then what happens is the realization can come in many different ways. Krishna can appear right there and talk. Or lesser, he may just give you the answer and you hear it as a sort of a whisper in your soul. But the important point is that we should always think we are totally unqualified to approach directly the Supreme Lord. All we are qualified to do is to try and become qualified. And if we have this in mind, we will always be, as Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So the reward of that that he's talking about is he gives more and more of himself. And himself is Satchit Ananda, truthfulness or knowledge, eternality and bliss absolute. That is Krishna, that is his form, that is his expression, that is all that he is, and that embraces everything. So therefore Krishna is ready to give to the extent that we are ready to surrender. And that is the basic principle. And what does surrender mean? It means I have nothing, I am nothing, I can give nothing except what Krishna allows me to do. And as soon as I begin to think that I can do it myself, on my own, without any help from Krishna or the spiritual master, I am fallen, I am lost, and I can actually, and some of my knowledge may even be taken away as a result of this offense. So that's all I wanted to say, it's the point is that if we want to know very much about Krishna, we should take the position that I know nothing about Krishna, and I need to find out about Krishna. And when he sees that humble attitude, he comes, and that's the basic idea.
Thank you, Maharaj. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Tai Gaura Premanande. Shandaru Jigal.